Coming up today, it's been too long. We hear from Steve Mattson, Grand Rapids fishing guru. We talk Winnie, we talk Pokegama, and we just talk fish in general. Great conversation with Steve Mattson coming up next. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. Well, it's been too long, but we're finally checking back in with Steve Mattson of Mattson Angling over in the Grand Rapids area. Steve, my mistake. You kind of get lost, not you particularly, but I kind of get lost in the shuffle, and I was looking through all my names, and I was looking at a list of people. I said, Steve Mattson? I haven't talked to him in years. So welcome back, and thanks for being willing to be back on the show.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. And, Kev, I understand that you got a lot of good resources there in front of you, so I can see how somebody might slip through the cracks with all the good anglers in northern Minnesota anyways. But, yeah, it's a pleasure to be back and looking forward to this.
Well, I've learned how to use spreadsheets now so I can put people on my list and keep them permanently. So. Well, Steve of Mattson Angling, let's talk a little bit about your background. It has been a while since you've been on the show. We've definitely expanded our audience with a podcast now, so it's getting out to a wider area. So for those who maybe aren't real familiar with you, Steve, tell us a little bit about your history and how you got into the fishing biz.
Yeah, so I've been tournament fishing now, primarily bass now for 20 years, and I've also been kind of a freelance outdoor writer for around the 20-year mark, so crazy how fast time goes, but I just had some friends and some influences that had the same eagerness and willingness to learn and to grow and to help be a part of the sport. And so I kind of just dove in, and just my personality wanting to learn and to grow, it just kind of helped fuel the fire, if you will, for a lot of years. And it's crazy how fast time goes, but I've had a lot of great influences with the Petersons and fishing with them, and certainly some of the guides that are around the Grand Rapids area that helped me grow and learn and mature as an angler, and it's been a lot of fun. And now I have a 10-year-old boy that is a boy after my own heart right now. He's really getting into fishing. It's been fantastic to share and to help him grow and to learn and to just have fun, being a father-son and a family relationship and getting into the sport of fishing. So,
I'm assuming growing up in the Grand Rapids area, fishing was something you were introduced to quite young in life?
Yeah, my dad actually was born on the Iron Range and raised in the Iron Range and spent time going into the Boundary Waters and stuff like that as he was a youth. And he got into, bass fishing and smallmouth fishing and at a young age. So I always would marvel at a tackle box full of lures and wondered how they worked and how they caught fish. And so, yeah, at a young age, my dad definitely introduced me to fishing. And thankfully, my whole life I've been in and around water, living in the great state of Minnesota. And so, fishing kind of really early got into my blood, and very happy for it, because it's definitely a lifelong hobby that it really brings peace to my soul just getting out on the water. I can forget about the rigors of life and just get out there and think about catching a little finned fish. So
well, in our area, we've got so many lakes to choose from, and basically we think of our area as going about as far east as Winnie. Your area kind of starts at Winnie, so let's start Winnie and go more towards Grand Rapids. Tell us a little bit about what we can find over in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, well, when you think about the Grand Rapids area, of course everybody wants to know what's happening on Pokegama, mm-hmm. with those smelt-fed walleyes, and that fishery it's always a slow starter. You know, it's a cold deep clear water lake, and they always start out cold, and it takes a while to kind of get them going. And we're kind of seeing that right now. And then, you know, a lot of lakes in this area are kind of deep clear when you're talking about Deer Lake and Trout Lake and Pacagama. And so they usually are cold, and they're slow going, and that's why some of the guys will go to some of the stained lakes like Split Hand or whatnot, because they seem to warm up a little bit sooner than those lakes, and so guys like to target those type of lakes, you know, for walleyes early in the season. But by the time you get to this time of year, I'm telling you, June is such an awesome time to be fishing in the Northland. We put up with such a cold, long, brutal winter, and by the time like June is here, it is you got to be on the water. I mean, June is an awesome time to fish. Doesn't matter what the species is; it's an awesome time to get out. And so, when you get to June for walleyes, though, you kind of switch from the jig and the minnow. You know, the fireball and shiner works for a while, and then things start to change as the water temperatures kind of increase and the food levels come up. And what you're seeing right now is a lot of these walleyes are moving to the edges, and so the switch is on right now for leaving the minnows and going more towards a leech, and even starting to see some crawler action taking off. So if you want to get out there and you want to catch some fish in this area, it's a good thing to tie on something like a Northland butterfly blade rig with put a leech on it and just pull this around like the first transitional edge, anywhere where you're going to find just weeds starting to grow up, and the edge of the structure is a great time to target the fish this time of year. What the beauty of it is, though, is most of the fish are recovered from the rigors of spawn. And so what you have is they do have food available, but you also have hungry fish. And that's why I say June is such an awesome time to be out fishing, is because fish are primarily done with the rigors of spawn and they're ready to eat. Like, they're ready to just focus on growing, getting strength back. And so as an angler, you say, you know, how can fishing be good? Well, when fish are ready to eat, it's good to be an angler. So that's what we love about this time of year.
No question about it. Talk a little bit. You mentioned the smelt-fed walleyes of Pokegama. Beautiful fish. Not the easiest to catch, though.
Pokegama has been, you know, a little bit tricky for some, and they do have smelt, you know, like you said, the smelt-fed walleye, so they tend to grow quickly. It's just a really good food source, an oily food source, and so it helps them to grow. And what happens later on is a lot of tournament guys have techniques where they're using great big creek chubs and things like that, where they can drop that right in front of these big walleyes and get some fish that way. But early on, it really is kind of a crawler thing, though. It starts out as, like I said, as leeches, and it turns into a crawler thing. So if guys, you know, don't really, it kind of is counterintuitive, because you'd think minnows and smelt, and you should, you know, try those techniques, but it really is a really good crawler lake. And so if you can think crawlers and all the techniques associated with crawlers, with, you know, butterfly blade, worm harnesses, and just other harness-type things with standard spinners, you will catch some fish. And that's my hot tip, is to think crawlers and think more along those lines, finding the edges and the weed edges this time of year, and you'll be able to catch fish. Interesting thing about Pokegama is, you know, a lot of times it's not hard to catch the big ones. It's almost hard to find eaters. And so... But this time of year, early on, it seems like the eaters show up. And so it's kind of unique, but if you put the time out there and fish the edges, you're going to get all kinds of, you know, fish from 30-inchers to, you know, your 16, 17, 18-inchers. So.
Steve Batson is my guest. It's Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. Steve Batson of Grand Rapids is my guest today. Tell us a little bit about some of the other lakes that maybe we don't know a lot about, but are not real secrets to people in your area that have good walleye populations as well.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mentioned earlier, I guess, Deer and Trout Lake mm-hmm. and Polar Rain, they kind of both set up similar to Pacagama. So if you are, figure out how to get the bites on Pacagama, then switching over to Trout is going to be pretty similar because that's a deep, clear water lake, and it has similar rock structure and a lot of edges and points and things of that nature. And Deer Lake is much the same, too. It's more of a rocky base. There are some weed beds, but you use your good electronics, you're going to be able to pick up where fish are. And that's, again, this time of year, you start to be able to see them show up on your electronics. They're not so shallow that you need side imaging to be able to find out where they are. They're starting to show up below the boat, and that makes it a lot easier for us walleye guys to find them. But yeah, the same techniques. This area is ends up being leech and crawler. If you get a strong wind, don't be afraid to pull the jig and minnow out and fish the wind pounded stuff. I mean, it'll definitely kick off there, but you definitely need the wind in order for that jig bite to happen again. So it's primarily best to stick with the leeches and the crawlers, and really on all these lakes. I mean, even I mentioned Split Hand earlier, and that's a stained water, so that seems to warm up quicker. But the old harnesses and the rigs are the thing to do.
One of the things I've noticed over here that has changed a lot since I started doing this show, and it's been too long, but it used to be you get into July, August, and it was like absolutely dead when you were trying to talk walleyes. I don't know if it's the electronics, the gear, just smarter anglers with the information that's out there now, but it seems like, though not hot and heavy, no matter what time of year, you can find some walleyes. Sometimes they're easier than other, but there's very few days where I hear people actually getting skunked anymore.
I think you nailed it. I mean, honestly, it really is that. I mean, we have access to these electronics that are just, unbelievable. I mean, as long as you can understand them, some people struggle in that, and rightfully so, because there's a lot of information. But, as soon as you figure out shadows and all of that nature around the side imaging and down imaging paints a picture that's, better than x-rays, it seems like. There's no place for these things to hide, that's for sure. So, and as that happens, of course, guys come up with techniques to put baits in front of the fish, and I think you're right. I mean, the whole the average angler is way more advanced today than it was, 5, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever, that we have all these tools, and every angler is learning them more and more. And so you learn about people that are not afraid to use a big minnow and mark a specific fish on a specific piece of structure and drop right down to it, and then if it bites, great. If not, guys will move on to the next one and kind of, use the electronics to their advantage and just try to be super efficient on the water. I mean, guys, sometimes they're even using slip bobbers in super deep water just to say, oh, I marked a fish right there. Let me put a leech down in front of them. And so guys come up with some creative techniques in order to catch their fish. And then, the rage in the walleye scene has been, using your jig and rapalas or puppet minnows and, those type of really lead-borne weights that are typically used in ice fishing to fish walleyes late in the season when they're deep. Again, you can target them. They're there. And, we've had a ton of success with them last few years. And, it's not much of a secret anymore, but if you have not tried that and you have some good electronics and you're willing to go out there, it's a phenomenal technique. I mean, last fall, my 9-year-old son came out with me, and we were fishing on Pacagama and 28 to 32 feet of water, and he literally caught his first limit of walleyes all by himself at a 9-year-old. I don't know how old I was when I first caught my first limit of walleyes, but I guarantee you I was not 9 years old. So it's an effective technique, and you know, later on when the fish move deeper, it's you got to be trying that. But of course, it's not happening now. We got to wait you know, a few more months for that to happen. But it's a really fun technique.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about bass angling. I know you like bass fishing. It's that time of year for them, too. I mean, that's the beauty of June. Pretty much everything's biting, and bass is among them.
Absolutely. No, this is kind of the season for bass guys. I mean, it's finally topwater time. I mean, it takes a little while for the, you know, them to get through their spawn and for the water to be the right temperature. And really, that's how it got me hooked into bass fishing, was watching them crush a topwater lure. And it's time. I mean, at Northland, it is time right now. So if you're looking for the thrill of catching a bass on the surface, then get the family together or get your friends together and get out there. I mean, whether you're fishing largemouth or smallmouth, put on a topwater. My family and I, we've been using a lot of hollow body frogs lately. The jawbreaker spoons, fish near the surface, are an excellent choice right now. I mean, basically you have weed growth that's just, it's kind of in its infancy, maybe a little bit more advanced, but the weeds are there, the bass are there, the water temperature is right. I mean, they are biting right now, and it's been a lot of fun the last week for sure. So yeah, get out there, get the family, and get out there, and, you know, like I said, get a jawbreaker spoon, hollow body frog, and cast out there in the weeds, and I guarantee you're going to get some hits.
Well, I talked to a lot of guides, and most of them are, you know, like we talked, I think, before going on the air. When it comes to guiding, it's about walleyes, certainly. People coming from out of the area want to catch those walleyes. But when it comes to what they want to fish for fun, for most of them, or an awful lot of them, it is bass, because it's just a blast.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's, you know, bass, you know, largemouth, they kind of consider them the mouth that swims. They'll hit a lot of presentations, but they're going to be, you know, they'll target more specific things. But one of the things I was going to touch on is the Ned rig has kind of been the buzz lately in the bass fishing world, and that's NED. Ned Cady was a guy that kind of invented it, and it's a small do-nothing worm on a jig. People are familiar with Senkos, and, you know, Northland had the dipstick for a while. It's basically that cut into a third, and it's, you know, skewered onto a jig head. Looks like the stupidest thing ever, but I tell you, the fish sure like it. And it was kind of born when times were tough and cold front conditions. You know, a guy wanted to try and catch some fish when nothing else was working, and so it is kind of like a finesse technique. And, you know, a lot of us guys up in the Northland, we've been using jig worms and things of that nature for a lot of years, but this has kind of been the buzz lately. And like I said, there's nothing impressive about it, but the fish sure like it, both large and smallmouth. They for whatever reason, they don't turn it down. But, you know, there's other things in that realm that work. You don't have to just use a Ned rig. I mean, guys that are using, like, the Northland Critter Craw, it's kind of just a tiny little crayfish-looking thing. It's a killer bass bait. That thing has a stand-up head design, so it almost looks like a crayfish going into its fighting position or whatever. But to me, this bait falls in line with you know, what the Ned does as far as the profile and the fishability, and or, you know, the standard tubes. Guys have been using little tiny slim tube baits for a long time. That kind of, to me, is the same profile as what a Ned does. And if a guy uses that all day long, I think they'd be surprised at how many fish they actually do catch. But that is a bait to definitely have in your arsenal if you want to catch some fish for sure. And then, you know, it almost goes without saying, but don't forget your jungle jigs. I mean, this bass jig is super versatile. It flat out catches bass everywhere that I go. And lately, my son and I, we've been rigging this up on like the 3/8 ounce version jungle jig with you know, a crayfish like trailer. We've been using the Z-Man Turbo Craws, and basically what you do is you cast the bait in and around structure, you know, your reed beds or your cabbage beds, and And all you do is you slowly swim it in. It's almost like, people are used to throwing spinner baits, which is kind of a crank and wind technique. And the swim jig is basically the same type of thing as you're casting this in and around structure. Of course, the jungle jig is great at being, weedless with the brush guard that it has on it. So you cast this in and around structure, and you slowly kind of just wind it in, almost like it's, a crayfish that's slowly moving around bottom. And that is a technique called a swim jig. And, bass pros of all likes use this thing across the country, this technique, and it flat out catches them. It's a really easy technique, but it's super effective no matter where you go throughout the country. But definitely around in the Northland, it's a great technique to use right now, right in through July. So it mimics crayfish, and the crayfish is a bass's favorite food. So you can't go wrong with that technique.
Great insights and great info from Steve Mattson, but wait, there's more. Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. Steve, one of the things that's been happening over here, I feel there's been a great increase in interest in bass angling amongst the anglers around here, and I think a couple of reasons for that here in particular. We've had a Bemidji State University fishing team for years. We just developed a Bemidji High School fishing team. So you've got this next generation of anglers that are out there bass fishing all the time. I don't know if you've got a high school team over there yet or not, but boy, it sure seems to have spurred interest in bass fishing in general in our area.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You look across the whole nation, and particularly in the South, I think, is where it started, because they're definitely more into bass fishing than we are up here. But it's definitely changed because, a lot of these pro circuits have come to our area, and they let us know what we already do know, and that we have fantastic bass fishing in this area. I mean, throughout the whole state, up in the Northland, I mean, we have, first-class type fishing. And so, it's really neat to see. And to answer your question, yes, the Thunderhawks do have their fishing team, and in fact, I think they've done pretty well. Some of the teams I think have been state champs, and they've gone on to fish at like national levels. And so, in the high school ranks and in the collegiate ranks, it's definitely picking up speed. And I tell you what, these anglers are unreal. I've kind of watched some of the other names that kind of were up and comers and went through some of the collegiate ranks, and now you see their names fishing up against the who's who of bass fishing and competing. I mean, it's like they do get an education in this world of bass fishing, and they come out and they have unbelievable skills, and they slide in and they can compete with the best in the world. And it's pretty remarkable. It's neat to see. It's neat to see advancement in the sport. It's interesting, and then it makes it challenging for all of us older anglers. These guys come in and they have such skill that they can whoop our butts on our home lakes, just because they've become so versatile and so skilled at the trade.
Yeah, well, now we know how Michael Jordan felt when he lost a step or two, I guess, huh?
You're exactly right. That's one thing that change does bring is you got to keep advancing, or you can't stand still, or you're falling behind, as they say.
Well, before we wrap it up, Steve, if we're going to go out fishing here in the next few days, let's talk both walleye and bass. Start with walleye. What should we bring with us, and where should we be hanging out?
Yeah, that's a really good question. What I encourage anglers this time of year is do not get stuck in a rut. It's very important to switch things up. People say it all the time, but it is very true. You have to let the fish tell you what they want. I mean, a lot of times if we get into a rut is because we're trying to force feed them to do what we want them to do. And if you be a little bit more flexible and try to adapt, you're going to be more successful. So when I'm out, pulling rigs, one thing you want to do is don't put everybody on the same size blade and the same size, same color, and everyone has a leech on. pre-prove that before you do that. You know, make sure that somebody's pulling a crawler, and if you have somebody pull a crawler with the butterfly blade worm harness, and have somebody else pull a spinner with a a leech, and maybe you just go bare bones with just pulling a crawler or just pulling a leech. But you have to be flexible. Do that. Let the fish tell you what's working, and then switch things up so that everybody can partake in the fun. But just be flexible. But this time of year, water's warming. We're getting, you know, the lake's kind of moving full gear. So it is crawler, it is leech season. So make sure that you pick up some crawlers and leeches and go out there and pull them around primary to secondary structure. Keep your eyes on your electronics. They're going to start to show up, but they're still going to be relatively shallow. Just get out there and take the family with you and have some fun.
And as far as bass goes, I think the main thing is find those weeds, huh?
Yeah, there's exactly. A lot of the weeds are starting to grow up. The pads are starting to get grown up. You know, right now, like I said, we got a window here where the topwater bite's going to be great. I'd also, you know, use your swim jigs. Smallmouth, if you want to do smallmouth, they're still on shallow structure. You know, you'll find them up in the Northland. They'll spawn clear into July. So don't be surprised if you still see some fish on beds. But like I said, if you get out your small tubes, the critter craw, things of that nature, the Ned rig, and fish around shoaly areas, rocky areas for the smallmouth. You know, they're still up in the shallow. You know, 4 to 6 to 8 feet of water. So plenty of fish to be had there if you want to go out there and catch some smallmouth. But, yeah, always with largemouth, it's cover-related. And so find what weed beds are out there, be it rice or reeds or lily pads. And, that's where you're going to find the largemouth, no question.
Steve, you do some outdoor writing. Where can we find your stuff?
So I've been on the staff with Midwest Outdoors now for 20 years. I do some freelance writing for some other publications, but Midwest Outdoors is primarily where you're going to see my stuff at. And then, you can find me on my webpage, mattsandangling.com, or Instagram at mattsandangling. And, look me up and look forward to this season. And everybody stay healthy out there and take the family and catch some fish.
If people want to fish the Grand Rapids area and maybe aren't real familiar, do you still have some spots available for guiding this summer?
Absolutely, yeah. You just want to get a hold of me at mattsandangling.com or send me an email at steve@mattsandangling.com. We can find some time to fit you into the schedule, and we'd be happy to take you out, and definitely would be cognizant of social distancing and things of that nature around the COVID-19. But, yeah, definitely have some available spots if people are interested.
Steve Mattson of Mattson Angling, outstanding information today. Steve, thanks for taking the time. Really appreciate it, and we'll check in with you later this year.
Sounds great, Kev. Appreciate the opportunity, and look forward to talking to you down the road.
Before we wrap it up, I want to remind you to get registered for the first ever Lucan's Village Foods United Way Fishing Tournament. It's also sponsored by Coca-Cola of Bemidji. This unique tournament, perfect tournament for a COVID-19 world. All you need to do is download the Fish Donkey app, find the United Way tournament, and get registered. With one $200 fee for you and your two-person team, you're basically in two tournaments. You're in a bass tournament and a walleye tournament, and yes, you can win both. First place in each division, $3,000. That's based on 100 boats, but you can fish any lake in Beltrami, Clearwater, and Hubbard counties, and you have 3 days to fish from 7 a.m. Friday, July 24th through 2 o'clock that Sunday. There is actually no specific limit of votes, so we can go over the 100 mark, and those prizes will go up. It's catch, photo, and release, and the Fish Donkey app does all the work. You can get more details at unitedwaybemidji.org, and go ahead and download the Fish Donkey app. It's a great cause. It's going to be a great tournament. The Lucan's Village Foods United Way Fishing Tournament, also sponsored by Coca-Cola, Amity Graphics, Dick Beardsley Fishing Guide Service, and Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. Speaking of the tournament and Dick Beardsley, we will talk with Dick Beardsley about the big tournament on our next show. That's it for today, though. I'm Kev Jackson. Thanks for joining us. FISHII and Paul Bunyan Country.